Amen. This year, as you may know, is the 200th anniversary of Silent Night, one of the most beloved carols of all time, now translated, I've heard, into 300 languages, give or take. As we count down to our special remembrance of that song on Christmas Eve, we will especially remember the anniversary here at Trinity. I've been hearing all kinds of stories about this hymn, this carol, this song, which cries out for peace, heavenly peace, that kind of peace, right here on earth. One Silent Night story that you may know is about soldiers stationed in the muddy trenches of World War I along the Western Front, told the war would not last past Christmas when they started out back in the summer. Here they were still, and if you ask them what they wanted for Christmas on that night so long ago, the answer would surely have been clear: peace. They wanted peace, and they got it, if only briefly. You may have heard some of these stories about the Christmas truce of 1914. It's become one of the best true Christmas stories ever. And though accounts vary, it seems that in the weeks leading up to Christmas 1914, groups of German and British soldiers along the front lines began to exchange seasonal greetings with one another. Cigarettes, candy, and songs between their trenches. The unofficial ceasefire allowed soldiers from both sides to cross into what was called no man's land to bury their dead, some of which had been lying there, of course, for days or weeks, but eventually to talk with each other, to exchange gifts, and to wish each other Merry Christmas. One series of events, or one version of the events, tells the story that on Christmas Eve 1914 at about 7:30, the Germans began lighting candles and singing Stille Nacht, and the British soldiers, recognizing the tune, joined in with Silent Night. Here's a video that helps tell the story.
Jenkins, Oakley,
Knight.
Actual letters from the front, written home by British soldiers, tell more about this remarkable story of peace. One soldier wrote that they were able to move about the whole of Christmas Day with absolute freedom. It was a day of peace in war, he wrote. It was only a pity that it was not a more decisive peace. The Germans, one soldier wrote, told us that they didn't want to fight, but had to. Some could speak English and as well as we could, and some had even worked in Manchester. The Germans seemed very nice chaps when we talked to them, who were awfully sick of the war. Another soldier told about how the truce came to an end around 3 p.m., at least in some places along the front, on Christmas Day. And a German officer called his men in, and a German soldier, one soldier wrote, said to me, "Today, Christmas Day, nice. Tomorrow, shoot." And as he left me, he held out his hand, and we shook hands, and I said, "Farewell, comrade." And with that, we parted. Friends, we are not at war like these soldiers of 1914, thank God. But in our world today and in our lives, many of us, we need the peace and calm of a silent night, don't we? A Christmas truce, maybe, a break from the onslaught of news and politics and division we know all too well in this country right now, and perhaps in some of our families. We need a way around the road rage. It seems to ramp up this time of year, doesn't it? The overreacting, the stress of the season, the family drama, for some of you I know, that highlights old rifts, the bitterness that can make big ruts in our hearts. We need a way across that no man's land that makes enemies out of people who were once friends, the chasm that can divide people from one another. We need peace, don't we? When our children were much younger, I remember some of those Christmases when my desire for peace was much more mundane, but nonetheless, it was a real prayer. I found this t-shirt that said it all for me when my children were 2, 3, and 4 years old. All I want for Christmas is a silent night and to sleep in heavenly peace. The prayer is real. I know some of you out there, grandparents too. So I do wish that for you young mamas and papas and grandmamas and granddads raising kids, as well as those of you in middle age and beyond who might be asleep at or awake at night for other reasons and not able to sleep, lying, tossing, turning, worrying, praying, desperately craving some sleep. Peace is about more than relieving stress, too, right? I mean, in our season, there's all sorts of advertisements now for spa days or bath bombs or things that can make you feel better, tea, whatever it is. Anxiety is kind of in the air these days, isn't it? But we need the kind of peace that can take us deeper than a day at the spa and is more long-lasting than a relaxing evening with a glass of wine. Peace is also about more than just savoring the season, although I love it. And scientific studies show that holiday lights can actually improve your mood dramatically and encourage a spike in that feel-good hormone of dopamine. But the lights will come down, won't they? Sometime in January, sometimes February here in Chicago, right? And then what? You and I need a peace that will last. We need a Savior, one who will save us from our sins, from all that separates us from one another, from all that separates us from God, one who will meet us in that no man's land and hold us there in that place where we are given the strength to love our enemies or just those who irritate us, in that miraculous heavenly place. It's a vision of heaven where lion and lamb lie down together. We need to hear the angels singing, peace on earth, goodwill to all. We need to know that peace that passes all understanding. You and I need to hear Jesus whispering to us, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. My peace. Today in our gospel reading, we hear that for the first time a little bit more about one of the most silent characters in the Christmas story, Joseph. He has a bit of an honorable mention in the Gospel of Luke, but Mary takes center stage there, Mary and the Magnificat and the Visitation. I've heard some beautiful Christmas sermons about Joseph, and maybe you have too, and how his righteousness saved Christmas. He did the right thing by Mary and for the world. But I've wondered sometimes if all Joseph really wanted for Christmas was some peace, some relief from the chaos. From the very beginning, you see, Jesus coming into Joseph's life meant that Joseph was caught up in this family and this religious scandal of having a child outside of marriage and all the rules that went with that, much more so back in that day, of course, than now. But I'm guessing that provoked a few interesting conversations around the kitchen table, don't you think? We didn't read all of Matthew 1 and 2 today, but if you read further, you will see, and we talked about this in our Bible study class, all was not calm and bright and peaceful in the world into which Jesus was born. King Herod was on the loose, and he was frankly paranoid. He had heard that this baby had been born, and it didn't feel like good news. A new king meant a new threat to him. And so just to make sure, maybe you remember this part of the story in Matthew 2. He had all the babies under 2 murdered. And Joseph, warned in a dream about all this, was able to protect Jesus himself and fled to Egypt, hiding out until this storm had passed. This doesn't seem like good news to me. I don't know about you. Until I read again the birth announcement in Matthew, right there in the first chapter, and you shall call his name, do you remember? Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us, literally. The Word made flesh and living among us. You may remember from years ago that song from Alanis Morissette, "What if God was one of us?" Some of you know that one. Well, God is. God's home is here among us, in the trenches, in the no man's land, in the anxiety that keeps us awake, in the late night bill paying. God is with those even who are waiting their turn right now to stand in line to seek asylum in Tijuana. God is with George Bush. Remember when he broke down crying this week as he eulogized his dad? God is with us. God is with us when we hold a tiny baby so close and kiss his or her head. God is with us when we hold the hands of our elders. God is with us when we see in another human being the holy, the beautiful face of God. That does not mean, of course, that God agrees with or thinks that everything we are doing is right. I imagine there might be a lot of weeping that God is doing these days. There's a beautiful story that came out just yesterday, speaking of weeping, in the aftermath of the fires out in California. A couple had returned to their home in Paradise, kind of an ironic name given all that's happened there, and I know some of you have friends there as well. But this couple had returned to their home after a month, and of course, their home was no longer there. And in their rush to make sure they were safe, they had not been able to take their dogs with them. And one of their dogs, in particular, had been able to somehow wait for them. And as they walked up to their property, where their home had been, there was this dog just sitting there, waiting for them to come home. A rescue worker had been given the dog food and water, and the dog had not left. She was just waiting for that family to come home. I think that's a great metaphor for the character of a God who is with us and who does not give up on us, Emmanuel. The very last chapter of Matthew, if you read the bookends, one and the very last chapter, tell us the rest of the story of God's promise of peace and presence. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not just God's presence, but God's promise to see us through the mountains and the valleys of life, to see Joseph through, to see Jesus through, as we read the story of Matthew, to see us through. And to never let us go. Remember those words from the prophet Isaiah? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. Still, it takes an incredible amount of centeredness and of peace to not get overwhelmed by life these days, doesn't it? It takes an incredible amount of trust. It takes a willingness sometimes to do something different in our hope and our prayers for peace. Thich Nhat Hanh is a Vietnamese Zen master who Martin Luther King actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, perhaps one of the most respected teachers of peace, inner and outer peace in the world. And some years ago, he led a retreat up in Wisconsin, leading folks, and this retreat was particularly for police officers and those in the criminal justice system. And it was a retreat around mindfulness and how to be people of peace. And Sherry Maples, I heard an interview with her. She's a cop in Madison, Wisconsin, and she was there for those few days at that retreat. And at the retreat, of course, he was teaching them about how to be mindful people and people of peace. And she tells a story about her work and how her life changed because she was there for those few days. And as she tells it, she says, well, as a cop, what started to happen to me got very interesting. She said, I just assumed, well, I'll listen to all this stuff about peace, but I'm a cop. I mean, I might be in a position when I have to kill someone at some point. I can't be thinking about this kind of stuff. And one of the Catholic sisters who was there pulled her to the side, a senior monastic there at the center, at the retreat center, and she said to her, who else would we want to carry a gun except somebody who will do it mindfully? Of course you can take these trainings. And Sherry went on to say, she said, what happened to me in my heart was that it kind of started to soften and break open. And she said, I had no idea that I had shut down in my work and not allowed my heart to be present. And I came home after that first week when all these teachings were so new, and my energy started to change, and the energy of the people around me, even including the people that I had to arrest and put in handcuffs and take to jail. And she said, the first time I remember trying out this new way was a situation with domestic violence. She said, I was called to a house, and it was one of those calls where normally I would just have arrested the guy and put him in handcuffs and taken him away. Enough's enough. Enough's enough, you know. And she said, this was one of these scenarios where breaking up was really hard to do, and the dad actually was kind of holding the little girl almost hostage, not wanting to give her back to mom. It was a custody exchange. And she said, there had been no violence that had taken place, but both mom and the little girl were scared and very intimidated. And she said, normally I would have just put the handcuffs on him and taken him to jail, but something stopped me, and I'd just come out of this retreat on peace. And she said, so I got the little girl, and I got him to give me the little girl, and I got the mom and the little girl out the door and got them on their way and told the mom to just go. And I just talked to this guy from my heart. And within 5 minutes, I mean, here I am, I've got this big gun belt on, she says, and I'm 5'3", and this guy's 6'6", and he's bawling. And I'm holding this guy with this big gun belt, and he's just in incredible pain, she said. And I started realizing how much misplaced anger and pain we are dealing with. And then she said, I ran into him 3 days later down the street from where I live. And this guy, the same guy, comes and he sees me and I'm off duty and he picks me up and he gives me this big bear hug. And he says, you saved my life last night. You saved my life. Thank you. Friends, I believe that's the way Jesus, the Prince of Peace, works. He saves lives, sometimes in the most unexpected ways, sometimes through us and our prayers and our actions, sometimes in spite of us. As we pray for peace, as we act for peace, as we strive to be people of peace. In this world, the world that Jesus desires for us is the world where the lion and the lamb lie down together, where the Herods of the world don't get the last word, where our grief is changed into something good and beautiful, and our pain is transformed into peace. That's my phone. It's God. You know, I try to turn it off. Lean on me, Jesus says. So this Christmas, may we do that. May we trust enough to lean on the God who's just waiting for us. May we trust enough to believe that God will give to us, even us, the gift of the peace which passes all understanding, the peace that lasts, the peace that did and does and will change the world, one heart at a time. Silent night, the soldiers sang from the trenches. Holy night, all is calm. All is bright. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep and heavenly peace. May it be so for you, for me, and for all God's children. Amen.